So I say he is risen, you say he is risen indeed. He is risen! He is risen! He is risen! Hallelujah! Thank you, God. Woo! I don't know about you, but this is like the best day ever for a sinner like me. We have hope, you guys. It's beautiful. And today we're gonna be little investigators today. And we're gonna investigate the Gospels. Because it's a beautiful tapestry of a very real historical account of why we have faith. Let's pray for the message. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for the hope that we have in a resurrected life. That you are alive, Jesus. And that we, your church, is established in the cornerstone fact that we will live with you forever in eternity, God. Lord, let me be preach clearly today, God. And God, draw us deeper into the truth. Lord, I pray for all those who came today that are confused or on the fence about you, and I pray for a breakthrough today. That they would see the truth that is the resurrected Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Resurrection Sunday is truly the greatest day of the year for the Christian believer. The birth, miracles, and ministry of Christ wouldn't mean much if Jesus hadn't rose from the grave. Because of the divinely perfect life of Jesus Christ, death could not hold him down. This incredibly beautiful truth means that Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is. The one and only Son of God. Resurrection is so important in the plan of God for his people that it is mentioned 104 times in the New Testament alone. Documented in the Gospels and the book of Acts, then explained in the epistles, the historical fact that the tomb is empty and Christ lives is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Jesus Christ's sacrificial death on the cross would mean nothing if he was still dead. We would be fools today, worshiping a dead man. And we would all still be dead in our sin and spend eternity in hell had Jesus not rose from the grave. I thank the Lord today for the evidence that he's given his people to have faith in. You see, faith isn't believing something speculated or made up. Faith is believing the evidence that is laid before you. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The Lord's sovereign will has preserved the truth of his plan of salvation throughout time. Along with the Holy Scriptures, that's the historical evidence, Jesus made good on his promise. His Father and ours has sent and sealed us with the Holy Spirit, leading us to all truth. Hallelujah! The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has risen indeed. Today we'll look at the historical documentation of all four Gospels. We will see that even though there are details that are different, the empty tomb, the angelic revelation, the witnesses, and the risen Christ are all documented synonymously. And that's before I get started. I want to drive home the fact that these four Gospels Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John weren't sitting in a room together going, well, what do you got? Writing this at the same time, these were all different. They came from, different witnesses. So what makes it authentic is if you think about something big happens. Something big like this. This was big. It startles and shakes the human being. And then when you ask them to recall what happened, people see different things. Amen. Different things are important to different people. And so that's why we get different nuances in the Gospels. But the core of what I just mentioned are the same. The risen Christ, the empty tomb, the witnesses. They're all the same. So we'll start with Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So we see that this is after the Sabbath. This is when the sun goes down on Saturday, okay? At dawn on the first day of the week, that's today. Then we look at Mark's gospel in Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James. Well, there's a little more information. Not the other Mary, but the Mary that specifically the mother of James. And Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. So there's a little bit more information that fills in what's going on. So these Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, so far we know these women have bought spices to go and anoint Jesus. Then we look at Luke 24:1, on the first day of the week. Well, there's three. Let's say this happened on Sunday. Very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, later on in Luke, verse 10, he lists these women. The two Marys, again. But he adds Joanna and then says others. So what we can gather here is that the women they're devastated. All the disciples that were following Jesus, the 11 apostles and the women were devastated. And I want us to see, and this is not a dig against men, okay? But the women were sad, and they wanted to go back to the grave. They're not looking for a resurrection. They're going back to take care of the dead body of their rabbi. Okay? They're devastated. The guys are probably, doesn't say it in the Bible, but I'm a guy. He's dead. Let's come up with a plan. What are we going to do now, fellas? The women were like, oh, let's just go back. Because Jesus, when he was buried with spices and wrapped in cloth. They just wanted to make sure that Jesus wasn't going to stink. They wanted to go anoint him, cry over him, be with him. And it blesses me. Women, you're really important in the church. The way this, your nature and your love and your nurturing spirits make this community whole. Oh, in John's gospel, he only mentions Mary Magdalene, okay? So those are all the four gospels. And there's a reason why John focuses on Mary and Mary alone. He doesn't mention any other women, and we'll get to that. In Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4, this is Matthew's account. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. So, according to Matthew, there were guards at the tomb, and the earth shook. There was an earthquake. Now, this makes sense, because the earth shook when Jesus gave up his life on the cross. There was an earthquake. The veil was torn in the temple that separated man from God. The earth shook when Jesus rose from the dead. And the earth's going to shake again when he comes back. Amen? It makes sense. So, these same guards, we would be here for 2 hours if we like really dissected this whole thing, but it was fabulous going back and forth through all these gospels. I felt like a sleuth, you know, looking for the evidence. These guards later on in Matthew, he explains that these very same guards that they saw this freaked out and passed out. Okay? Now remember, this isn't a fairy tale. If we saw something like this, we would be shook as well. Amen? I mean, and angelic, each time an angel comes, people freak. So we just know that that's a given. These very same guards go to the Sanhedrin after they come to, and they tell them what happened. And the Sanhedrin pay them to lie and say that the disciples stole Jesus' body. And that is still the belief of the Jewish religion to this day. Just wanted to throw that out there. So in Luke 24, in Luke's account, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. You see, these women are expecting a dead body, not a resurrected Christ. And what we need to remember too is, the angel rolled the stone away, not to let Jesus out. Jesus is already risen. Jesus, this resurrected body, I mean, he shows up in the middle of the room. He'll show up over here. Whoa, I slid on the carpet. He's now omnipresent. Again, he's in glory. So the angels roll the stone back to let the people in, to let the witnesses in. It's part of the plan of God to have witnesses of the resurrected Christ. So thousands and thousands of years later, his church, his people would have evidence to have faith in. Not a fairy tale, not a speculation, but solid, rock hard witnesses that have seen the risen Christ. Amen. Mark's gospel similar to Luke. And Matthew and John's gospel also document the angelic proclamation of the resurrection. We have limited time, like I said, so some of them I'm just going to have to, you can go look for yourself. But there is, bottom line is, and if we can think back to all, I mean, when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, angelic revelation. Elizabeth with John the Baptist, angelic revelation. Oh, when God's making big moves with his people, he sends a messenger. And so he sends an angel, two angels, it goes back and forth. Angelic presence with the confirmation that Jesus is risen, just like he said to you before. The angel's reminding you, because I know you're freaking out, is Jesus told you this, and it has happened. In Luke 24, 9 through 12, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and on to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others. That's Salome, and maybe there were some others that didn't get mentioned. But these women come back and they tell the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their word seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. See, not one of them really understood what Jesus was talking about when he told them, I have to be crucified. I will be buried. And on the third day, I will rise again. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Even when the women come back and go, we went to the tomb, he's gone, and the angels told us this. They're like, you're crazy. This should give us all hope. That even if you sit here today with questions, you're not alone. But these people have went through this for us. That they didn't believe and they got to see the risen Christ. Because not one of them understood. It's a lot to take in. But that's what, you know, that's the blessing. See, when you're, the fact of being born again means that God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us understand the big things of God, to help us understand. And the more that we seek him, I mean, the more that we study the scriptures, and I'm speaking from experience, the more that I study the scriptures, the more I begin to really understand what God has done for us. And that builds your faith. The Holy Spirit will help you understand it. The Holy Spirit will confirm it in your spirit. And you will know. And that is faith that moves mountains. Amen? So we'll go to John's gospel. Luke says that Peter ran to the tomb, right? Ran back to the tomb to check it out. Well, this is John's gospel. So Peter and the other disciple, remember John doesn't say his own name. So he is either the disciple that whom Jesus loved, or this in this sense, he says the other disciple, but he's talking about himself. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight to the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. In parentheses, they still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So we see the humanity in John here. One, he wants to definitely add that he's a faster runner than Pete. I beat him in a foot race. And I reached the tomb first. And then he says he saw and believed, but with a parenthesis or an asterisk, he says, but we didn't really understand. I see the humanity in John and the authenticity of his account of what happened that day. And listen, he says that he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Listen, Jesus didn't get up from the grave and go, unwrap himself and rub the plaque off his teeth. There's a body wrapped in linen. No body. You understand? Like, the linens, there's a body wrapped in linens. Boom, no body. Linens hit the floor. This is what it's describing. Jesus, that's the resurrection. That's what it looks like. And in verse 11, and this is why I believe that John really focused on Mary Magdalene. Because she stayed behind. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look at the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. One at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll get him." You see how much Mary loved Jesus. This is Mary Magdalene that had all those demons cast out of her. And if you are like me, you know. When you've been forgiven and set free of demonic activity in our lives, addiction, lying, selfishness, anger, just the demonic, the darkness that we used to live in, that Jesus has delivered us from. Mary loved him. And she's like, "Look, I just don't want his body to be desecrated. Just give him to me. Whatever you guys did with him, just give him to me, please." And then Jesus said to her, Mary. He says her name. And it, you know, in the Gospels, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He said her name. And she turns towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher, but it's teacher with a special significance to it. Rabboni, meaning like the highest of all teachers, the teacher of teachers, Rabboni, with affection and love. And she grabs a hold of Jesus. Can you imagine? She lost him. Now she's got him again. Oh, I'm never letting you go. No, no, no. And Jesus said to her, don't hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he said these things to her. You see, like Mary just wanted, she's human, like all of us. And we put so much stock in the here and now because we're physically here and now. And that's not a dig against any of us, but Jesus directs her attention back towards the plan, the mission, eternity, that this is not it. Our lives here may be tough. Look, it's going to be a mix. I'll just spoiler alert right now. You already know this, but whatever. With blessings and trials, there's going to be magnificently beautiful things that make you grateful to be alive. And then there's going to be really tragic things that are tough. This life is meant for us to walk through it all with the living God, fellowshipping with him, enjoying him and enjoying each other, enjoying him and loving one another, enjoying God, trusting him in the hard times and the good times, when I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm mad, when I'm happy, and to glorify him in the obedience through it all. It's the obedience, and we'll see the favor that gets put on us when we do obey. Because remember, this is what's different about our faith. This is what's different about Christianity. It's not your best life now. There are no promises of health and wealth. He says, deny yourself. Deny this life. And pick up your cross and follow me. That, it makes sense. Because we're prideful and we're greedy and we're selfish and we want to be comfortable on the natch. I'm not calling you names today. So for God to go, no, 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 that's not the way. My way is to deny that part of yourself. Deny yourself of that and serve others. Be generous. Be kind. Be merciful, be graceful to one another. That's walking in my spirit. That makes sense to me. To deny Chris Jones, who just wanted to be a rock star. Yeah. Right, Tommy? And to have that revelation that God would open my mind and yours to the revelation of, oh, there's better. There truly is better, but it takes faith. It takes faith to deny yourself. It takes faith to climb up on that cross, because being crucified, crucifying self, is not fun. It's not enjoyable to the flesh, but there is a huge reward in it when we deny ourselves and we walk in the Spirit of Christ. Then we go back to Luke's gospel in 24, 13 through 16. So we see now that same day, so this is later on in the day, two of them, disciples that aren't mentioned, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. So they're talking, they're like, man, today was crazy, huh? So much happening. I mean, the Lord's body's gone and they're saying he's resurrected. And Jesus starts walking alongside of him and talking to them. And once they get to Emmaus, they begin to break bread together and they invite Jesus to stay. And as Jesus broke the bread and gave thanks, their eyes were open to who he was. It's you, Jesus. So there's another, see, he's making his rounds. He's making his rounds, showing them, look, it's me. Here's the holes. I'm in a resurrected body, but it's the body. He's in a body. And he shows himself it would be one thing if he showed himself to one person and be like, well, I don't know, right? But there were, I guess, over like 200 people saw him in the 40 days that he walked around. But he shows himself to these disciples so they can account and go, yes, we did see him. Yes, it is true. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. When there's two or more witnesses, you verify the truth. That fulfills the Old Testament law. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, it says, and on the evening, so now we're in later on in the day, in the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, and you know, they're like talking about the day and everything that was happening with doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, because they were coming after them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So he shows himself to all of them. In one account, Thomas is there and he was doubting because they told Thomas that Jesus is alive. And he goes, I'll believe it when I see it. And that's where we get that phrase, doubting Thomas. But the thing that Jesus said to him just resonates with me. And he said, because when he showed Thomas his hands and his feet, he said, Rabbi, you know, he believed. And he goes, I'll tell you what, Thomas, and I'm paraphrasing. Blessed are those who haven't seen me that believe. Because you've seen me now and believe. Blessed are those who haven't, who won't. Blessed are you, right with God. The favor of God rests on you. When you believe in your heart and in your mind that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he died for our sins and he resurrected again. Blessed are you. And then we go to verse 44 of that same chapter, or in Luke, excuse me, Luke 24, 44 to 49. And he said to them, when he's meeting with his disciples, he said, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And in one account, in one of the Gospels, I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. It says Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, and here Luke says that he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. The Holy Spirit, only the Spirit of God knows the things of God. Amen? And so this is how I reconcile this particular moment when he gives them the Holy Spirit to understand the scriptures, and then that in the book of Acts, where they were like tongues of fire. And because he says, go and wait until you've been clothed with power from on high. In their obedience, they did exactly what Jesus said. And they waited. And he clothed them in power of the Holy Spirit. It's not like you receive the Holy Spirit twice. When we're born again, we receive his Holy Spirit, and that is that. We're sealed, signed, and delivered on our way home, baby. The scriptures will come alive. The more we seek, the more we find, the more we knock, the more the door is open to us. That is being born again. But every time we begin our obedience, because the power of God comes from service, comes from ministry. When we go out and we get out of ourselves and we preach the gospel authentically the way we speak it, preach it, share it. When we share, when we, take the time to stop and talk to somebody about our faith, about Christ. The power clothes us in power. Amen. I mean, Peter preached like he never did before after that. It's to show us that in our obedience of stepping out, we will be clothed in power of the Holy Spirit. He'll go with us. I had great experiences in prison ministry, hitting the yard, preaching the gospel. It was weird the first couple of times. I'm like, man, are they going to stab me for being a traitor? But God went with me. And let me tell you, I preached the gospel to guys on there that were doing life for triple murders. And they turned into little boys. When you start preaching the gospel, when you start sharing the love of God, these guys with tattoos all over their face become, yes, I want hope. That's the power of God. Also in Acts, in chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the great commission for every believer. Go in the power of God and share your story, share your experience. I want you to know scripture. I'm your pastor. I want you to know it for yourself, for your own strength and your own wisdom. But look, if you can't quote addresses, because I really can't, I can't remember addresses. Pastor Daniel's good at that, I'm not. But I just share what's on your heart. Share what you do know. Share what Jesus has done for you in your life. That's all. Then invite him to church. Verse 5, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, another angelic confirmation. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here and look into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go to heaven. He's coming back, baby. Christ will come to gather his people and judge the living and the dead. He's coming back. He showed himself. So there was witnesses to account for everything. So just like the guards lied, God knew that there was going to be satanic opposition to his truth, but he's sovereign. Do you understand? His truth of the Son coming out of glory, becoming a human, living a sinless life, only to be sacrificed on the cross for his people. The king died for his people. But because he's God, because he lived a perfect life, he has risen from the dead. And he ascended into heaven where he prays for us today. And he's coming back. And when he comes back, the earth is going to shake again. And he's not coming to save, he's coming to judge. Time is up. And that's a significant importance. That should be on the heart of all of us, that yearning to see more people come into the kingdom, yearning to see more people be set free from themselves and the just the demonic stronghold that is on our culture. We are the light of the world. We really are. And Jesus will come back. Are you ready? Amen. Amen. So I'll end with this. The resurrection means that the scriptures are true. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That salvation is complete and our resurrection is sure. That Jesus is our high priest and his church is established. That judgment is coming because the judge is alive. And that heaven is waiting with our full inheritance. We have an inheritance coming. We have an inheritance, a full inheritance of glory waiting for us. And lastly, we've been given the power to live a Christ-like life. Now, that's what the resurrection means. That he would take a sinner like us and transform us into the children of God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful that we have a hope in the future? No more sickness, no more sadness. No more insecurities and depression. No more hate, anger, murder. But just peace with one another. Perfectly. Glorifying God, serving each other, serving him the way it should be. That is a day that I am definitely looking forward to. We'll never have to go to another funeral, you guys. It'll be a good day. Amen? Well, I don't want to end a service without giving everybody an opportunity. I know, like, maybe you just came here because your parents were like, please, it's Easter. Just come to service. I get it. But if God has spoken to you today, And you might not understand everything. It's okay, neither did they. But you don't know. Where would you go if you died today? Would you go to heaven? Do you have saving faith? Have you denied yourself and given yourself to Jesus Christ? Well, if you haven't, or maybe you've said the prayer before, but you know your life hasn't, you haven't been walking it. Look, we truly believe at this church, one, that this is an act of God. He's the one that regenerates the heart and makes us born again. But two, it starts with a surrender. And we just want to help you in that process today. Because it's not the prayer that saves you. It's the God who you're praying to who does. But I believe, and it's been my experience, that when you cry out to him and say, Jesus, save me, he's faithful to do so. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ or you want to rededicate your heart today to him, just raise your hand and I'll pray. We'll pray together. I see your hands. Amen. Hallelujah. I see your hands. It's a good day. A good day to do this, guys. Lots to look forward to. Okay, church, let's pray this prayer together. It's a profession of faith, so let's say it together. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy. And I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you, church. Father God, shine your face upon your people as they go. We celebrate the risen Christ today. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray a blessing over your people. May your peace rest on your people, Jesus. And I thank you for the hope that's in you, the power that comes from the Father through you, that we can engage in this life and look it right in the face and trust your heart and move forward each day. Blessing and building, shining the light of Christ in everywhere we go. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Happy Easter.